With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
They might talk about humor, music, film, books, football, and box sets, exercise, and maybe even food. Trivia and sport, politics and health, sometimes well-being too. On the Life with Brian. On the Life with Brian.
Hello, you're tuned into Life with Brian, the Brian McLeod podcast. It's Mark here, pressing the record button, and I'm joined, as ever, by Matthew. Are you all right, Matthew?
Very well, thanks, Mark. Hope all is well your end.
Yeah, all good, thanks. And of course, where would we be without former Aston Villa, Motherwell, Celtic, Manchester United and Scotland legend Brian McLeod? Are you all right, Brian?
I am very good now that we've all sorted out with we can all hear each other, and even better, we can see Rowetta, which is perfect.
Okay, so Brian's given the game away there. Our special guest is a singer who's been in the music business for over 30 years. She's got a huge body of work and collaborations on her CV, and is probably most known for her part in one of the most celebrated of Manchester bands, the Happy Mondays. It's a pleasure to welcome the one and only Rowetta to the pod. How you been keeping, Rowetta?
Really well, thank you. Well, now we're out of lockdown, it's miles better, isn't it? So, really, really good.
I wanted to say to you about that I've got great admiration for your determination. A couple of little things, and it's relating to the both relating to the Mondays back in the beginning, in that you decided that this was a band for you, and that you wanted to be in the Mondays, and in order to facilitate that, you spent all your free time in their manager's office telling him that this band will not be as successful if they don't allow you to be a singer, one of the other singers of the band. And I thought that was incredible.
It's true, and it worked.
And it worked. And the other thing that's the second part of that, when you then played in the gig, they didn't take you to America, if that's correct.
That's true. Oh, gosh, yeah.
And you paid for your own flight to go to
New York.
Well, you borrowed some money, which is like, that's kind of, that's I think it's a great little story about you've got into the Happy Mondays, you played a couple of gigs, and then they leave you behind.
Because they put me on a sample, they took me over, just my voice without me. So I got a bank loan from the NatWest in Chorlton, £600. Took me a few years to pay it back with the interest as well. And it cost me £600. I only got £100 to sing on Step On because I didn't want them to pay me. So I just wanted to do it. I didn't want any excuse not to sing with the band. So I always said, I'll do it for nothing. And luckily I get royalties now. But it was, I was in debt for ages from that trip, but it was so worth it. As soon as I got on stage at Sound Factory, they knew they can't leave me behind again. And then they took me, I was with them then. Well, I'm still with them now, and it's 32 years later. So
They're still trying to get away from you.
Yeah, well, no, we all get on now. It's all right. But, we get on really, really well. It's brilliant. Especially, like, me and Bez are just we're inseparable a lot of the time. You know, he'll have his friends and his girlfriend in his room, and he comes and spends a lot of his time with me. So it's we just really get on.
That's an interesting one, Loretta, because I wanted to ask you if there was any. I know you haven't done a huge amount of television stuff, but you've done some television things. Is there any television that you wish you hadn't done?
The X Factor. I was a bit disappointed that I had to get into that stage to go and do the X Factor. It was well worth it, though. I ended up being the top woman, so I don't regret it really. But I wish I hadn't have had to go in for something like the X Factor. But I actually did need to do it to get my name about again and let people see I could sing, because not everybody was into Happy Mondays. And, you know, and when you split up in a band, the band had split up, what are you going to do if nobody knows you can sing? And I got a whole new audience and started to do well again and reinvent myself, as house music's really what I do a lot of, and songwriting. So I was able to do lots and lots of other stuff, and singing with orchestras and things. BBC Philharmonic I did straight after X Factor. But yeah, very, very careful not to do too much, because I get offered a lot because people think I'm a bit mad. And so I've said no to lots of shows. Your Big Brothers and things like that, I don't think I'd come across well, because I can't stand people. I can't stand being with people that I don't like. And I always
feel part of the entertainment.
Yeah, no, it's good for other people, not good for me. So, no, it's just, I mean, I've got to an age as well where I really don't care, because I've got a good heart. I don't care about being honest and telling people what I think, because I think if you've got a good heart, it's better than being fake. So I don't pretend to like anybody, you know, and if I don't like them, I don't speak to them again. Even if it's bad for me in my career, I couldn't give a shit. I just think it's more important to be honest to yourself and to them. And yeah, and the older you get, it's easier for me. And I'm not surrounded by people I don't want to be with anymore. People know when I walk in a room that I don't like them. And, you know, I know they don't like me. And it makes life so much easier when you do that and you're all honest. But you've got these fakey people who pretend to love you. Oh, I love you, Roberta. I love you. I love you this. You don't love me shit. You don't love me at all. Just leave me alone. And it's easier if I just tell them to leave me alone and stop pretending.
I was going to say, you must have seen a lot of that during the X Factor process, though, didn't you? I mean, from what I remember, that program, there were a lot of lovies on there.
Yeah, and I did it for 9 weeks, but I tell you, after about 4 weeks, I was pushing it. You know, I was like, I can't be nice to people for very long if I don't like them. And I just hate that fake world of TV. But I was doing so well in that program, and I was completely out of my comfort zone, where I was this really cool girl in this Manchester band. And then I went and did X Factor, which is so uncool. It was the first series, though. But it was a big risk. But I got on with Simon Cowell really well and Sharon Osbourne. And my grandma wanted me to do it. My grandma just said, why have you not made it like all these other singers? You've got a great voice. And she'd heard me singing proper songs, as she'd call them. And she wanted the nation to see me singing proper songs. And I did. I was singing all kinds of rubbish, you know, Somewhere Over the Rainbow and everything, which are the lovely songs, but they're not really for me. As I just did, as I was told, until Simon said Celine Dion and I told him where to go. I'm not singing Celine Dion, because he just, you know, it's just somebody he likes. He's into Celine Dion, but it's not really for me. So, my grandma died really happy, with posters of me all over the world and newspaper cuttings. And up until then, she wasn't happy that I'd not made it. And to her, being the last woman on the X Factor, you know, was making it. You know, I couldn't, you know, apart from win it, I did everything she wanted me to do and sang her favourite song. And it was worth it for that. So when people say, why did you do the X Factor? Well, I didn't really have a career at the time. I wasn't doing much else. But also for my grandma, there was other things I could have done. But now it's much easier. I work with people over the internet, can send my voice. It's dead easy. But it didn't used to be quite so easy. And working with producers, you'd have to go into a studio. You'd have to travel. And it was really difficult. But now singers have it so much easier if you're a writer. And I'm just reaping the benefits now, working with everybody and working with some top names and top producers, because I know how to work machinery and I've got a good studio at home. So during lockdown, I enjoyed all that and got away from the X Factor. It takes ages, though. If you do any TV shows, and Brian, if you do one, people remember you for that. And it takes ages then to get away, to get onto the next thing, if you're planning to do something else. I mean, Sean loves it. Sean Ryder loves it. He doesn't care. He does. It's his showbiz, Sean. He does programmes that I wouldn't do and I couldn't do. Bez does. I couldn't do Dancing on Ice. I'm going to see him on Sunday and I can't wait. But he's braver than me. He did MasterChef. He's doing them, and they make loads of money doing these programmes. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't have done Big Brother, which he did. But I love going and supporting the boys, but that's about it. Unless it's got singing in it, I don't think I'd really want to be doing it.
Which one would you want to see Brian do then?
Well, the jungle. The jungle's like, it's the hardest. I think that's really hard. Sean did a really good job on it, but it really exposes you as a person, I think, and it brings out the best in some people and the worst in others. I said no, and the money went up, and then you go, don't offer me any more because I'm going to end up saying yeah. And they offered me a bit more, but I just couldn't do a lot of the things. I've got terrible, I can't do heights at all. And the thought of people laughing at me would bring on my anxiety terribly. So even in they did an interview with me where they'd offered me a lot of money. I went for the interview and then I had a panic attack just during the interview, thinking about the bridge, wobbling the bridge, taking the piss out of me and just the thought of that. But Brian, if you're going to do one, they just offer you loads of money though, don't they? So it's just hard to refuse sometimes.
No, I managed
to say no, I just said, because there's too many things. If it brings you out, I'm dead calm at the minute, but anxiety is a big problem with me. And I think the jungle is not good for that. The people as well, being stuck in the middle of, in a castle or in the jungle with a load of people, celebrities and people who burst out singing all the time and all that shit, you drive me potty.
Brian, have you been approached before?
I have not, but my thing is always about, well, what would my children think? That's my kind of fallback kind of thing.
A lot of kids want their parents to do it, though. A lot of people do it for the kids. Don't mind, they're old, so they
don't care. But it sounds like they all do it for the money, Roetta.
Of course they do. They all say, I thought it'd bring out something. I wanted to show a different side of me. The liars, it's usually when you're not doing anything else, because I was able to say no because the Mondays had reformed. And when the Mondays reformed, I started working again, and we get a nice wage. After lockdown, during lockdown, if they'd asked me then, when there was no work, and I was spending all my savings, and it's like, I was in a real mess last year. I might have said yes to something if we were allowed to do stuff, but the jungle wouldn't have been one of them. But I might have said yes to something like Big Brother if they still did that last year when during lockdown, because I just couldn't cope, with the not doing anything. It was, after a while, it drove me mad. And then you do worry, what happens at the end of this? Are we ever going to do gigs again? So I would have done any singing show during lockdown, definitely. But money's not the thing for me. I'd have to be really on my arse. I've been skimp before and it doesn't, singing and being on television is not for me the best thing about the music business. The music business is the stage, the singing in the studio, writing, working with other musicians. The famey bit is the shit bit. And, and since camera phones, it's a nightmare, really, when you're going shopping and walking my dog and you want peace and quiet. I'm not dead famous, so I don't know how someone like Beyonce, they have security, don't they? But I can be asleep on the train, someone will wake me up. And half the time, I'm just some black girl to them that think they just know my face, but they don't know where I'm from. So they wake you up and they're really rude when they do it. And they've got a camera waiting for you and just say, oh, weren't you on, or you were brilliant on Big Brother? Sometimes they've said to me, they don't have a clue who you are. They just know your face and you're asleep and it's just rude. And I hate the rudeness. And then you get genuine fans and that's lovely. And most of the time, they're not bothered about selfies. They want you to sign the records and stuff like that and talk about music. And I love real fans, but this world of selfies and fame is just horrible. And I really hate it. I think we're really lucky that we were in at a time without the camera phones back in the Hacienda, because I don't think we'd all be in prison, would we?
So did X Factor change that for you, do you think? I mean, were you relatively unknown before? Obviously, those of us that remember you in the Mondays don't, but I mean, it must have opened you up to a whole new audience of younger people.
It was a different type of it was like famousy thing, because it was the biggest show on TV. So Happy Mondays is a much more, I'd rather be recognised for that back then. But it was just because you've been on television, obviously. But then people were saying, wow, your voice. And that's a lovely feeling when people realise you can sing. For the first audition, people just thought it was a mad woman. So they were going, there's that mad bird off the telly. And I was like, oh, no, it's all gone wrong. I shouldn't have entered because they're not calling me a singer. They're just saying I'm mad because I was a bit drunk and whatever. But once you realised I could sing, it was all. And then the work came in as well. For singing gigs, I got offered a lot of television and At Home with OK magazine, which I said no to. But the singing gigs and getting a whole new gay audience and singing at Man United booked me a lot. I sing not on the pitch, but I sing at a lot of their dues, for the sponsors and things. So all that probably wouldn't have come about without X Factor. So it might have done through the Mondays. But it's got a whole new audience, which has been nice. And I think if you handle it well and decide, you're not going to dress up every time you go to shopping and You know, you refuse to do all that. Just be nice to people and polite and ask people to leave you alone when you want it. If I'm picking up dog poo and a bin man wants a selfie, it's just, it happens. It's just intrusive. And they get the video ready then to film you telling them to fuck off. It's really annoying. But
Roberto, you must have been, so just talk about those shows and all that kind of thing, and correct me if I'm wrong about this then. You must have got some amount of money to go on bargain hunt.
No, it was for BBC Music Day. It was for BBC Music Day. I think we raised £8. We didn't. I don't know if we even got paid. We did it for. I always do something for BBC Music Day, but I think it's more of a for the BBC. You know, for charity to help people.
Yeah, you got disqualified.
Yeah, because well, we didn't, not on purpose. It was Bez's girlfriend started bidding because Bez said we'd bought a load of shit, a load of tat, I think he said. So nobody would bid on it. So his girlfriend thought she was helping and started to bid on the items, thinking somebody else had bid after. But she got caught by the producer, and when somebody grassed on us, I think. But we didn't know. We'd done all the filming, we'd won, went home and everything, and then they said they were going to have to cancel all that filming. It's a long shoot. It's a long couple of days filming that. And so Jarvis refused to come and refilm the end bit because he'd had enough. And he was pissed off because he didn't win. He bought a painting that he thought was worth millions. And it was worth £7 or something. so luckily, and the girl from Pub as well, she was lovely as well, Candida. But she thought she knew everything about China pottery. And hers was worth shit as well. They were just rubbish as us. So it was funny though. I'm so glad we got disqualified. It made it cooler. But yeah, me and Bez love doing stuff together. But as I say, Sean and Bez get offered a lot that I just not really for me. I don't like doing telly for the sake of it. I love Gogglebox. I would have done that. I would do that maybe with somebody else as well because I love the whole concept. I watch Gogglebox anyway. I love the families in it. It's just a programme. I always record it, always watch it. And then I can decide from that which programmes I want to watch because there's a load of shit on television. There's a load of good stuff. It's a lot of good drama. So quite often I see a Gogglebox and then I'll go and watch something after it.
You've got a bit of a penchant for daytime television, Brian, haven't you? I mean, I picture you sitting there with your slippers and watching these shows, 15 to 1, whatever, Countdown, that kind of thing.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't, no.
You know, anyway, all ex-footballers, no. All ex-footballers do.
You all watch
telly in the day. Everybody says it.
Back in the day, I used to rush home for Neighbours.
Oh, wow. So did I, actually, yeah, when Kylie was in it.
I like that, yeah. I used to rush home for Neighbours. Yeah,
no, it was great when it first came out. It was.
That was, what era are we talking here? Mid-90s then, yeah.
When Kylie was 18.
Yeah.
Jason, before he was Jason.
Everyone
was another guy.
I wish he stuck to acting Jason, though. I'm not keen on his singing. He did Top of the Pops when we did it, and he had orange makeup on. But he's good in musicals, but his voice is rubbish. He's just a good-looking Australian boy, isn't he? Who can act. Nobody comes near us in green rooms, do they? Unless they want, well, back then, if they wanted something, if you know what I mean, rubbish. Back then, but not now. No, but people, like Kylie, to be honest, Kylie, whenever we've met her backstage, she used to say, I just followed the smoke. She's followed the smell of the weed. And I don't smoke weed, but she would follow whoever's smoking weeds. That would have been best back then, Kylie. But Jason would have kept well away from us. Loads of people do. You know, I mean, I was a big George Michael fan. And in Rio, we played the Maracana Stadium. And it's his people, though. They kept him way away from us because everyone thought we were dangerous or something, which we probably were, if you're not into partying. But, but we just had a good time. But to be honest, we weren't really bad. There were certain people on different drugs, like Sean back then was on heroin, addicted. So everyone was on different whatever. I just like my whiskey. I love whiskey. So we're very loud party people. And me and Bez still are a bit, but we're harmless. You know, if you don't want any, you don't have to have any. McClare's on mark. And McClare's
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We mentioned that Manchester scene, like a lot of that Manchester scene, you're a big, well-known Red. Just wonder what began this love of United for you? Where did it date back to?
Yeah, when I was a kid, to be honest, the first game I got taken to was a City game at Main Road because my best friend, her dad was friends with Joe Corrigan, the goalkeeper. So, and there was Colin Bell, the restaurant was near us as well in Whitefield. So it was more City that I went round with, City people. But Liverpool were just the team to watch, and if you like football, and I'm not a Liverpool fan, obviously. So it used to be more, we all hated Liverpool, but I didn't really get into football till later on, till my son got into football. My son's now 38, so it's a time where Brian was there, and when Eric Cantona came to United, and I just honestly, I started to watch the games with my son. But then I just became a little bit obsessed. It just changed the whole, for me, it changed the way the whole team played. Watching football just became exciting for me. And I did credit Eric with it. I didn't even understand whether it was his presence, but it was always, there was just something magical about the way I couldn't take my eyes off him. And the way United played back then was just incredible. It was exciting. I always thought we were going to win as well. And it made me, to be honest, I started going to games with my son. And then when you start going, it's a completely different thing than watching it on television and the atmosphere when we're winning. It was incredible. And I just fell in love with the game and then started going. Even if none of my friends were going, I'd go on my own. And I still do when I want to go. I just go because I fancy a game. I love the whole atmosphere. But it was that magical year. It was like round about 92, wasn't it? And we did end up winning, as you know, Brian, because you were there. But yeah, it was winning the league. And it's in Manchester, it's just amazing to be a United fan. Through the years it has been, and then it's just went so horribly wrong. I'm so glad though that we're doing this just after a win, because I'm beating West Ham, because I really wasn't a David Moyes fan at all.
So you still go to United then, yeah?
Well, yeah, not as much as, I'll be honest, not as much these last couple of years because of the lockdowns and everything. But before, I hate losing. I hate being there when we lose. I used to go all the time. We'd win most of the time. And then driving home the first time that we lost, driving home on my own, I think it was against Swansea. And I was just depressed for ages. It's really difficult. But yeah, no, I do all the eating dinners. I'll be dead honest. I go and have my dinner there on a Sunday, have the whole day. I do sing for my supper. I sing and get nice tickets, I'll be honest, and a pass. But when I don't, I buy tickets. I've got my friend has a season ticket where Tony Wilson used to sit. And quite often, if his kids aren't going, I'll use them. Yeah, but I've not been as often since David Moyes came, since Sir Alex has gone. I really couldn't stand it. And David Moyes, this is why I don't like him as well. He would act for the cameras like everything was fine and we loved him and we didn't. And I just never talked to him. He shouldn't have been there. I think I was told anyway that Sir Bobby Charlton chose him, whether it's true or not, and didn't want, I wanted Mourinho at the time. But yeah, it's just been a horrible few years. Hey? Yeah, dude, it's too late then, wasn't it?
Mourinho in the end, yeah.
Should have had Pep, really. But no, it's been a horrible few years, to be honest, hasn't it? Van Gaal was awful. I mean, I've been to Player of the Year, and I always go around with David May, who I love to bits, and we have a laugh. We have a laugh, but De Gea was winning every flipping Player of the Year. The goalkeeper was winning. That's how rubbish we became. And it's embarrassing when City are doing so well. I mean, I was glad at the beginning for City fans that have always, you know, because I've got a lot of friends who support City and they're very loyal to the team. And I was glad at the beginning, but now it's just, I'm sick of them. I'm sick of it. They've gone cocky. They text me when we lose. Yeah, I'm starting to hate some of my City friends because of their attitude. I never did that to them. I never went, ha, ha, ha. You know, we always did better than them. And they'd beat us in the derby and think they'd won the World Cup.
Rowetta, we have to talk about the Happy Mondays, and we'll ask you about the tour that's coming up later this year shortly. But I wonder what you think about how the perception of the band has changed over the years. Because as you were talking about before, you know, you were kind of the poster boys for rock and roll excess and debauchery in the 90s. But, you know, with all the television that particularly Bez and Sean have been doing, everybody sees them like sort of national treasures now, aren't they?
Yeah, it's amazing, really. I never thought that had happened, to be honest. But they've really toned everything down and calmed down. Sean's a different man. He's settled down. He usually goes home straight after gigs. He arrives just five minutes before a gig and leaves. By the time I've come off stage, he's usually gone. No partying. So I don't think, without his wife, he wouldn't be doing that, because he's got the best wife. She's fantastic, Joanne. And yeah, and he's just settled down and become, as he says, showbiz Sean, and gets his head down. He just basically does what she tells him to do, turns up where he's got to go. And yeah, and it's and doesn't and gave up drugs years ago. And so he's really pleasant to work with. You know, we get on all great now. And it's fantastic. I mean, I hardly ever see him, but when we do, we've done bits. We did something for BBC Music Day, Pointless Celebrities, which you would never have thought years ago that me and Sean were doing, you know, like a Saturday night TV panel show. But yeah, no, completely loved it. It's amazing. I think I'd struggle to be so goody-goody like they are, because they do really well. And I just hope that Bez keeps on the straight and narrow as well, because I've noticed they try and pick out loads of stuff from the past and try and bring it up again and again. They're bringing up an old story about me and Sean not getting on, and it was like, it was the year 2000. It's 22 years ago since me and Sean had a big argument, and they keep bringing it up, how they, you know, our anger or falling out. And it's just, it's such shit journalism to do that. And it's just, it's not even real. We don't even know what we fell out over anymore. It's just boring. And so, but for, you know, after 20 years, you should give it a miss, keep bringing it up. And they keep saying things like, that we're not, as if we're not together again, former bandmate. And it's like, we're still completely going. We've just come off tour with James, which was great, doing all the arenas, Wembley, Manchester Arena. Yeah, we don't bring out new tunes every 2 minutes or anything. I don't know if we ever will bring out any new music, but everybody's recording separately and doing bits. But we're certainly still a band. We still tour. And, well, when we can. And this year we've got loads of festivals coming up and a 3 month tour, like 30 dates and more dates being added as we speak, yeah. Which is great.
Yeah, well, I saw you last year at Leeds. Brian saw you, as you were talking about earlier, in Glasgow, but you've got your own tour in your own right coming up this autumn, haven't you? So, yeah.
It was a bit weird for me, to be honest, the James tour, because going on at 6:30 or something for an hour, it's a bit weird. So I've asked Sean, can we do some older stuff, stuff that I might not have been on the first time around. But we did the Bummed album, and I wasn't on it, the original album. But it just makes it more exciting for me to do songs we've not done for a while, rather than keep doing this greatest hits tour. And he's promised a couple of weeks ago, I went through his wife, did it the right way, asked his wife, can we start doing some songs we've not done for a while? Or if we've ever done them at all, make it a bit more exciting for me and the fans. And anyway, Sean's agreed. So, yes, I'm really, really happy about that. We'll be doing some of the older stuff.
What I realised about the night in Leeds particularly was, yeah, half six, quite often the band that comes on first, there'll hardly be anyone there. But, I mean, the arena was almost packed.
Yeah, as long as people
knew. When you came on half six, so that must make you feel great.
Well, it was. There were some gigs, though, where I was getting messages because they can contact the band now, and they were saying they're still at the bar. They didn't realise, and everyone had to show a test or whatever in a lot of the places. So there was a problem with some of the venues, but Leeds was fine. But I know some of the venues, some people didn't quite make it in time. They only caught the end of our bit. But that's because of the showing your negative test and not realising how early we'd be on. But, you know, they'll catch us again. They still had a great night. James do a nice long set. But in Leeds, normally, when it's our gig, I always come on with the United song at the end, which everybody knows. Dirty Leeds, I always, and they go, they always say I'm brave. And they start to boo usually. They just boo when they see me in the United top. And they go, don't boo or I'll walk off, because it's usually on Step On or Wrote for Luck. I come on at the end just with the, and but I've done it. I did it two tours. I don't know, but I don't know how long I'll keep getting away with it for. So I don't know whether I'm going to be brave next time we do Leeds, but I do like wearing a United top in Leeds and Liverpool, of course.
You can do it. Yeah, you can do it when you come to Liverpool as well. I'm
definitely doing it from Liverpool, because I've not done it before. I've not been brave enough. But I might do it.
You'll be all right.
Do it in London, do it everywhere, yeah. It depends how well we're doing, though. United have to, for me, when United are playing well, I do. I've always got United tops on and United T-shirts. And then when we're not doing so well, I've noticed I pick up the T-shirts. I pick things to represent how I'm feeling. I don't want to go around saying how great the lads are when they're not. And they're not playing well, or, you know, how good the manager's doing when they're not. I don't even know how long we're going to have this manager for. It's all a bit of a mad time, isn't it? And I love it because we just won, so I'm not being negative. And we're doing better. We're fourth in the table. But we don't know where we're going. I thought, like Chelsea did last year when they got rid of Frank Lampard, which is sad, like we got rid of Ollie, it's sad. But I thought we could go in and win Champions League like they did. But it's still time, but this isn't going to be our manager. It's an interim manager, isn't it? Or will he stay if he wins Champions League?
If he wins the Champions League, he might not be. Yeah.
I know. We go from game to game. It's everybody out when we don't do well. Sometimes I hate the way our fans react. Ollie out when we do badly and then keep him in when we do. It's just not as... It's because of Twitter, isn't it? And Instagram and everything that you read the fans' reaction on the day. And it's awful sometimes.
Yeah, I think United's fan base is reactive, very reactive, because of probably the huge success that they had, obviously, the times you were mentioning.
Because of social media, because we didn't used to feel it that way. And there's a lot of them, they don't even go to games, they don't try to go to games. It is expensive to go to games, though, so not everyone can go to a game, I understand that. But, you know, I've taken my son, when I've not had money, to a lower league team or somebody who's not in a league, because we love watching football. I used to love watching my son play football. Not dead well. He went to Bobby Charlton School and that, but he wasn't good enough to be a great footballer. So I don't even think he's my son. He should be playing for United now, like Marcus. He went to the same school as Marcus, different year, Button Lane.
But can he sing?
No. Well, he can, but he's not into it. He likes a proper job where you get proper wages. Yeah, no, they can both sing, the kids, but they're just, you know, they've had the opportunities. But if you're not into it, I'm not one of them pushing mothers. So, no, they're not into it the same way. My daughter does. She's good. But singing to do well, you've got to persist and you've got to have the times where you're not doing as well. And a lot of people, and my daughter, she wouldn't have that time where she's not earning a load of money. She wants to earn and earn now so she has a proper job.
Well, you've never had a proper job like me. I've never had a job, Roberta. I've never worked a day in my life. And you have never done that either.
No, but I manage myself. That's what I find, you know, managing, doing deals and doing contracts. That bit, I do. But I know what you mean.
Did you ever meet the choir teacher who threw you out of the choir?
No. They're probably dead because of karma, isn't it? No, they'll be old. It was a long time ago. No, they didn't throw me out. They didn't let me in. They didn't even let me in. So she just said I wouldn't fit. I didn't ever get in. Yeah, because my voice it didn't blend. It didn't sound like everybody else's, which you should say to kids who don't sound the same but are a good singer. You've got a special talent. That's what she should have said. What she said was you're not good enough for the choir. You don't fit in. That's when you start realising if I don't fit in, then I'll do my own thing. And it's very punk attitude. It turned me into a punk. So in a way, she did me a favour. I decided I'm not going to dress like everybody else. I'm not going to sing like anybody else. I'm not going to do anything. I mean, I would have probably done better at singing soul music or something like that. But I was into punk. I listened to Crass all the time and Sex Pistols, obviously, like and Clash, but and Specials I loved. But Crass were really hardcore punk. And that's what I was into. And it's because of people like that teacher and people like in the nativity play. I was only singing along as a donkey or something. And they asked me to mime because they could hear me I was singing along with everybody else singing a song. And because if you stick out, asking me to mime, she gets, but apparently it happened with Shirley Bassey as well, because her voice is so distinctive. And really, I just needed someone to give me a bit of encouragement. But my mum used to say, shut up. And I never had any encouragement at all. So I said to her, when you want to go in a nice care home, Mum, you're going to have to pay for yourself all that telling me to shut up. That was a kid. Don't ask me for money. I'm only kidding. But she did. Yeah, it wasn't her fault. She loved Coronation Street and I used to sing during Coronation Street. And she'd go, oh, turn it down. I'm not got anything on. I'm just singing. But yeah, she would just tell me to... I probably was loud, but I was punk, so I was probably screaming, you know, something.
Talking of dream jobs, I mean, our listeners in the Northwest will know you from Red Wednesday on BBC Manchester, the radio show that you pop up in. That's got to be a dream gig for you, hasn't it? Talking on the radio about your love of United and moaning with fellow other fans.
It would have been if it was a different season, but when I was there, it was like that Moyes season. I think I've got the job because it ended up being a job and a weekly job, but I got it because of my passion, because I was so upset about the way we played and what had happened to United. And I'd had enough of Moyes. I think that's what it was. I did this long, I was nearly crying. I couldn't believe it. I just went in as a guest and have a fun, you know, be fun. And ended up making this passionate speech. And then I was asked to come in regularly because that's it. I said, oh, I can't come in regularly. I don't know. I'm not really great about tactics and formations, but I'm passionate about the game and about our team. And and go to as many games as possible. So, and I'm just a proper fan and very, very much of it. I used to go all the time though at the time when I was doing Red Wednesday, because I had more time to do that as well. It's been difficult the last couple of years, but it is because of lockdown and because of the way we've been playing as well. Yeah.
Just think how much more fun they could have had out of you if you'd stayed for the following seasons. I mean, you had the Moyes one, then you would have had the Van Gaal one, then you'd have had the Mourinho one.
I was still there because I remember Players Player of the Year, and he made the worst speech. He sounded pissed. He was awful. And I had to stop myself from shouting, "Get him out! Get him out!" I've had enough of him. You know, it's so much promise and then nothing. And it was just, it was awful. And Mourinho coming and not working out was sad. Ollie, I really stuck up for him so many times. I love him. Still love him. He's still a legend. But if it's not working, it's not working. And it's just a shame because Pep would have, now you know, we know how great Pep would have been. We need someone like that for us. And I don't know who Brian wants now because I haven't got a clue. And I can't say, and my son keeps saying Pochettino. I can't say his name. I said it right.
Pochettino. Yeah.
I can't say his name. So my son kept saying him for ages ago, but I said I don't want him because I can't say his name. But I haven't got a clue who should be next. But I just want it to be now. I want us to have a plan now. We've got a great squad. I'm so happy. Some of the signings that we've got. I love Cavani. I love Fernandes. I'm excited. I got so excited with Fernandes. I mean, but I loved Zlatan. I loved him. I thought we'd got another cancer now. I knew it wasn't going to be for long. But I think in a different team, a different year, it would have been amazing. We would have won loads with him because he had that thing that Eric Cantona has. And I'm glad Ronaldo's back. But there's not been any consistency. But we're fourth, you know, and we're still, you know, I think we're higher than we should be, probably. But that's because other teams aren't doing so well. But it's City is so far ahead. It's I'm just hurry up next season. There's still been some crappy moments. Being beaten by City and Liverpool has been horrible. It always is.
Would you have Pep Roberta as a manager?
Yeah, in every way. No, joking. Yeah, definitely. Joking.
Why can't it be him?
Yeah, no, because he would have been great for us, I think. Just to,
why can't he be great for us now?
Who, Pep?
Yeah.
I don't think you're allowed to. I mean, I wish he would. I wish he would come over to the dark side, the better side. But no, he's too. He wouldn't do that. He's too disloyal to City to do that. He's not a Tevez or a, you know. I don't think you can't do that.
Have you heard something, Brian? Have you?
No, I think we can send Drouetta around to see one.
A Life with Brian exclusive.
Yeah. I wish you would. I love Pep, and he loves Manchester.
I just don't.
But he's very much a City man. So
I don't know. Yeah, if he is very much a City man, I think he's very much a Barcelona man. Well, I don't know for sure. But I mean, I don't know if anybody's asked him. That's the thing, you know. Maybe they should ask him.
Well, Brian, you sound like you know this. I'm going to celebrate. Are we having
Pep? I don't know. I don't actually know.
I'm just Brian exclusive.
Maybe they should ask
Guardiola's
him.
Going to United.
No, you said it now. I can't see it, but that would be
I'll my, give you his, that would be I'll my get his number for you, Roberta. Text him.
Yeah, well, no, it's just, I would love it. Ages ago, he should have come to United. I'm gutted that we never got him, especially with all the success City have had, because it's good for the fans, but we've had nobody to challenge that. I mean,
which
I like
fans?
Zidane. I thought Zidane might be.
Which fans? They don't go.
I thought Zidane. No, I know. I thought Zidane might be good for us.
Zidane.
But he don't want to come, does he? If he don't want to come. He don't want to, Zidane don't want to come to United, he don't want to come to Manchester, so he's no good. But that would have been my choice recently. That's the only one I've said. I don't know.
David
I don't know
who's Moyes the best manager. Right.
My son's better at your team. David Moyes did well at West Ham, but he wasn't right for us. He was rubbish. I didn't like what he said before and after the games. He was deluded for us. But he's great with West Ham.
So you don't fancy David Moyes?
I'm so happy for Marcus Rashford. I don't fancy David Moyes in any way. I didn't want him in there in the first place. Whoever put him there, he was just a patsy, they call him. He was a patsy, like Lee Harvey Oswald said. He was a patsy. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. We should have had Mourinho then for a couple of years and just to fill in, I would have done. But anybody but Moyes, he was just rubbish. He hadn't won anything. He was just, yeah. Somebody said, though, it was Bobby Charlton's choice who didn't want Mourinho. Somebody told me that in the back room when I was singing one day. So I don't know if it's true. But, yeah, and I love Sir Bobby, but it's a big mistake. He always put the club first. And you could see he was like a rabbit caught in the headlights. But he was pretending for the cameras that we all loved him and we didn't. It's like I won't boo anybody in Old Trafford from our team. It's like Fellaini. Well, I wouldn't boo him, but he used to go, boo. I used to do that noise that you do that's not really a boo. Ooh. And the whole, it was loads of us doing it going, ooh, it's just noise. But it was a boo. If you're on this, you knew it was a boo. And Moyes knew we were booing him. Ooh. And there was a plane saying, get him out of the place now. I was there for that game. And for the cameras, he's waving as if we all loved him. No, we don't love you. Get out. Because I always think if you love United and you know good, I thought Ollie would do this as well. When you know not good for us, go. Because the club is the most important thing and the fans. And you should leave when, if you're not doing a good job, it's too much for you. But I don't know, because they still get paid, don't they? Oh, they don't get paid if they leave, do they? They have to
do
that.
They do.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they get paid until they get another
that's
job.
Right, so they just hold it. Oh, I can't bear it. Oh, God.
No, they only get paid until they get another job, Roberta. That's the idea, you know. So,
because they're so overpaid, they're not doing a good job, then they need to go. And they're paid a lot of money. It's the same with players. If you don't want to play for United, don't just stay for the money. Just get up, go.
Life with Brian. Life with
Before this turns into an episode of Red Wednesday, for those non-red listeners of ours, if there are any, I just wanted to ask you. So I saw on your saw you on your Twitter feed a week or so ago. You were on holiday for your birthday, and you mentioned a book you were writing. Is that something that you can tell us more about, or is it?
I've been asked a lot. First of all, I got asked when I did the X Factor, and I just wasn't ready to do it. My ex-husband had sold his story and stuff, and talked about the violence and things, so I just wasn't ready to do a book. It's far too serious. And every time I've tried to write anything, I get too upset. It just messes my head up for a bit. So I didn't want to. And then I've had offers now from publishers. And it's been good offers, but really good publishers. So I'm taking my time. But somebody did an article, a big feature, a four-page feature in a thing called The Gentlewoman. And it was amazing. It's Stella McCartney was in it. And they were like really proper big actresses and things. So... yeah, and I was in that, and I couldn't believe. Anyway, the lady was from Scotland, Glasgow. Massive Happy Mondays fan. She's now the editor of this Gentlewoman, which is a really posh magazine. £8 a copy, and everybody, all posh ladies buy it. So, and this lady called Jude Rogers.
Why would you mean can only ladies buy it? Can guys not buy this as well? No,
I don't know. Well, I gave Bez did an interview for it for me and said some lovely things. And he loves it. It's just a really posh magazine called The Gentlewoman. And the quality of it's gorgeous as well. I couldn't believe I was in it. And they came to Manchester during lockdown and hired the factory where the factory offices were with a proper crew stylist. There were photographers. There was loads of people there, though, to do makeup, hair, costumes. Pam Hogg dressed me. I couldn't believe it. But the lady who wrote the words for that was called Jude Rogers, who writes for The Observer. And she wrote this so beautifully that I thought maybe I'll do a book with her together because of the way she wrote it. The way she talks about the things that I find difficult to speak about, like being a bastard wife and things, she made it okay. And talking to her about it, I felt okay. So, yeah, I've got meetings with publishers. I've been offered quite a bit, but not enough yet. from one, and so I'm going to speak to Random House in a couple of weeks. But yeah, it's just sometimes when I sit down and talk about things, my mum doesn't want to talk about certain things because I'll make her sound like a slag. So it's really difficult. So I might have to wait till my mum goes. It's just yeah, so it's just difficult. I don't want to upset anybody, but I don't want to lie. But then I realised this lady told me I don't have to tell everything in a book. So I don't have to upset anybody. I don't have to talk about everything that went on with me and Sean, any arguments, because it's nobody's business. I don't have to tell everything, you know, and fall out all over again. And when you think about that, I thought I had to be completely honest about everything. But I'll be honest, but I don't have to be as open. I don't have to talk about every single fight I had with my husband or anything, or what colour underwear is my favourite and all that, because it's nobody's business. And so once I've got my head around that, then I'll do it. And it'll be a great book. But yeah, it's, when I've spoken to some publishers, they wanted me to focus on the music. Some want me to focus on my life. So when I find that one that lets me talk about both, the being in the band as a girl in Manchester and growing up in Manchester, and obviously living in a women's aid refuge and starting again, and your X Factor and your Simon Cowell's. Once I find someone who I can put everything, my life story should be my life story. But I'm not in a rush. I don't need the money. So I'm not going to rush. I would never do a book if it was just for money. Otherwise, I'd have done one in lockdown. So I decided not to. I decided to write down as much as I could during lockdown, but not have a plan to release one just for money, because I just think that'd be a big mistake and I'd always regret it. So now we're working again and we're just on a nice tour. I can think about it and not rush to sign a publishing deal. But there will be a book comes out. Maybe. I also don't know how keen I am for everyone to know all my business.
I think there's enough things in your that you'd want to tell Roberta. It'll be fascinating for people to read. And then you'd have to decide who you'd want to play.
Yeah, because I'm private.
Yeah, you'd have to decide who you want to play in the film of the book.
It's got to be myself, hasn't it? I always play myself.
Yeah, well, you played yourself before in the past. Yeah.
Because I never really looked young in the old days, so I can still play myself for ages. But yeah, I think Sean's doing a book. I've done a book, and that's they're turning that into a film. I don't know if they're still doing it because the lockdown stopped it. Twisting Your Melons, Man, I think, or Twisting Your Melons. And I had an interview with the filmmaker, and I said, "Can I play myself like I did in 24 Hour Party People?" And he said, "No, because he didn't want people to think about the other film." That was the reason he said, though, not because I'm too old. So that was good, because the other film was such a strong film, though, 24 Hour Party People, but it was a comedy. And this would be a serious one about more about Sean. So I found out the girl who was playing me, I'm not going to say, but she's well-known, if you like, sci-fi, that kind of things. So, yeah, I'm quite happy. And I think they'd use the girls as the actress, but use my voice. So as long as you use my voice, I'll be happy, because I'm more particular about how I sing. But she's good looking. She's a, obviously, they're not going to get a white girl or a very, very dark coloured girl to play me. They're going to get somebody of my colour. And I didn't say dark coloured, I meant dark in my skin colour. So I would want somebody who has the same kind of tone. So it's obviously a mixed race. Do you know what? You don't know what you can say anymore. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. But brown in my colour, whatever you're allowed to say. I'm really happy. The girl's the same colour as me. She's pretty, and she's she's lovely. So I'd be happy with that one. And I think the guy who's playing Sean, it's what's he called? He's really famous. Google it, because he's if it's still happening, it'd be really, really good. And they named who's going to play Bez as well, and it's a really cool actor. So if it happens, it'd be great.
Brilliant. So possibly a new book and a film coming up soon. We've got a little game coming up in just a minute, but before we do that, Brian, I didn't know if there's anything on your list of
there was just
queries
one thing
that you have in front of you.
There was just one thing, Roetta, in that you mentioned, I think, that you froze when you met David Bowie and Prince. Tell me you spoke to them, or you got a picture, or you got an autograph, or you did something, and not just say nothing.
Yeah, David Bowie did. I took a few pictures. I took pictures though. There's not with me. You can see me in the reflection of his glasses backstage at Glastonbury. They put my trailer. They put my trailer next to David Bowie's, and they put the Mondays trailer, because I always have a separate trailer. They put it right the other side. So that's what they do. They keep the Mondays away from people. But they put me next to him, so I spent the day just in awe. But I took some gorgeous pictures of him, which I posted on my Facebook and my Instagram. I post them every year on his birthday and on the day that he passed, which is just after his birthday. But yeah, so my best mates at the time, they're in the pictures, and David Bowie on his own. But yeah, he did speak to me backstage a little bit, but everyone just was all on him, from my friends that I'd brought with me. But I was so lucky to have him in the room next to me. Well, like I say, a trailer. And then when I was singing Hallelujah, I came off stage and he stood at the side. He'd been watching us all along, and this is at Glastonbury. And he said, that was really eclectic. And that's all he said. But I just went, what did he say? And he said it was really eclectic.
No,
he really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that. It was really eclectic. And that I was like, oh my God. Honest to goodness, I've never been next to someone where you just... properly freeze, but worse than that, nothing came out that made sense in my mouth. It just I couldn't string, and I can talk a lot. I couldn't string a sentence together. I was just, everything I said was rubbish. As when I was trying to say, I've taken five, because it's before mobile phones. This was year 2000. I've got a mobile phone, but I'd not got a camera on it, so I was using a proper one of them little take your pictures. And I remember just saying to my friend, I want a picture with him as well, because I've taken these pictures of him. And I couldn't say anything because he was there. I'm going, I've never been like that. The only person I think, George Michael as well, made me a little bit like that. And I think I've never met Sir Alex Ferguson or Cantona, and I know I would be exactly the same, because I used to melt when Sir Alex came on the screen, and I'd be fuming if anybody spoke while he was talking after a game. And that's what I want again from my manager. And Eric Cantona, I was supposed to go with Bez to the premiere of a film. And we went to the premiere of the film. I was going to meet Eric. This was only last year, just after the lockdown period. And these producers said, I've heard you're a big fan. Do you want to come along with Bez as our guest? And then he was stuck in Portugal, Sir Eric, I nearly called him. So I never got to meet Eric Cantona. He is my, he got me into football, but I just love him. He's just so punk. He's proper punk. There's a picture of him as well, Eric posted, with Joe Strummer and with Bez and a few other people. It's just an amazing picture. And when I post it, I always post it and say, a photograph courtesy of Sir Eric Cantona, and he always likes it. You know, when somebody when Eric likes your Instagram, it's amazing. And so, and I'm getting that thing again that I get. This was with David Bowie, Prince. What happened with Prince was at Rock in Rio. We went to his party, and his security people got me to dance on stage near Prince because he thought it was one of the Brazilian girls, and then got on the stage just as Prince is coming, but I needed a wee. And I went for a wee and I never got back on the stage. And it was only to dance. So I didn't get near it. And then when he actually performed at Rock in Rio, we were allowed to stand at the side of the stage because we were performing on a different day. So all the artists were allowed to stand, but you weren't allowed to make eye contact with Prince or you would be removed. It was really, so we were all watching, but we couldn't watch the dance. The whole gig just have a sneaky peek at the stage. But yeah, we were told under no uncertain terms you could not make any eye contact with him. Yeah, it's really, really. He was looking out the front most of the time. But it was a long 2 hours, whatever he did. But managed to see him again and be in the sound booth at the Manchester Academy when he played two gigs, and that was the most incredible gigs. And not knowing he was going to die just the year after, I think it was. So feel very, very lucky though to have met them at all or been in the presence. It's,
You include Brian McClair in that illustrious group now, of course.
Obviously.
No, I forgot to tell you, don't look him in the eye. Right, Mark, let's do this game.
Before we open the mailbag, we've got a quick quiz for both of you, which we're calling You What Mate? And seeing as we've got Rowetta on, we're making it Manchester United and Happy Mondays themed. I'm pretty sure we've played a version of this in a previous episode, but it doesn't hurt to regurgitate ideas now and again. The rules are simple, so listen carefully. You have to tell us who each of these quotes can be attributed to. Was it Sir Alex Ferguson, Sean Ryder, or Bez? So pretty straightforward, I guess. Yeah, we read out the quote. You're going to have three each. Rowetta, we're going to give you yours first. So I'll read this out.
What a great idea. What a great game. I better get it right. And I know two of them really well. And I listen to everything Sir Alex says. So, no pressure.
No pressure. Okay, here we go. There's a reason that God gave us two ears, two eyes, and one mouth. It's so you can listen and watch twice as much as you talk. Best of all, listening costs you nothing. Who said that? Was it Fergie, Sean, or Bez?
It sounds like there's a reason God gave you two ears. No, but I don't think Sean would have said the rest of it. Sean would have said, Sean would have been not as nice. Oh, Bez. It's definitely not Bez. Definitely not Bez. The beginning of it sounds like Sean, but then it sounds like Sir Alex. Oh, God. Just do them bit again. There's a reason God give you two. No, it's Sir Alex.
Correct. That I like your thought process there. Excellent. Spot on. It was Sir Alex.
Sean would have said the first bit, but then he would have said something abusive straight after. He gave you that, so he would have said some horrible afterwards.
I'll try my turn next. I'll try and keep this as neutral as possible, not to give anything away. So this one's for you, Chockey. And the quote is, so I'm Labour, although I couldn't vote for Corbyn. He'd have taken too much money off me. I'm Labour, although I couldn't vote for Corbyn. He'd have taken too much money off me.
Bez.
I know that.
Oh, nope. Rowetta, you said you know it.
It's Sean.
It's Sean.
Definitely. It was when Thatcher left. He said he was devastated, but he's not. He's more Labour than he jokes a lot. But it's more about the tax he's talking about. He always goes on because he likes everyone to think he's earning millions. He probably is now, but he likes to think that Labour. He loves Labour, but yeah, they tax him too much.
Yeah, it's 1-0 to Rowetta.
Oh, do we not get 1.5? Right, so... Then Sean,
get
half.
No. That's just to prove, you know. Yeah. Well, if it's a draw, we'll take that to it.
Yeah. Tiebreaker.
Right. Are you ready for your second one, Rowetta?
Yeah, go on then.
I've been thinking that it would be nice to get to the final. Then I realised I am in the final.
Well, it's got to be Bez. Big Brother.
It is Bez. Yeah, that's right. Celebrity Big Brother, which he won in 2005. Spot on. Oh, no, you're on form here.
I was there because all his friends got after the first show, all his friends got banned from supporting him because Jeremy Edwards' family said they felt intimidated by our friends because Jeremy Edwards' family tried to nick my friends' wine, Bez's supporters' wine, and Bez's friends said, "That's our wine." So they just reported them. So Bez wasn't allowed any friends apart from me, his girlfriend, and one of our lady friends, and that was it.
There we go, 2-0 to Rowetta.
Yeah, 2-0. Brian, you need this one, just for pride, if nothing else. So, Chockey, your quote is, I used to like Dick Francis novels as a kid, who was like Enid Blyton, but based around horses, and he'd write about the skullduggery of the racing world.
Was that not me that said that? Because I used to like his books.
I can guarantee you it's not you.
I can't imagine Bez or Sean reading Dick Francis.
No, you've blazed one over the bar again. The answer was Bez, believe it or not.
No, he does read, though. He does read. He likes it. He doesn't have a telly. He'd rather read. No, I'm saying he reads books, though. He does read books, and he lives in the countryside. I didn't know. I thought when you mentioned horses, though, that was a clue for Sir Alex, but...
Well, yeah. I think that was the red herring.
But Bez has got a horse now, so he has got a racing horse. Called Mystic Moonshine, yeah, he really has. I don't think Mystic Moonshine is very good, though. But yeah,
I'm taking a note of that because I like my horse racing. So I'm making a note of that and I'll be following that.
Bez's Racing Club, it's called. Bez's Racing Club. Yeah. But the first time she turned, what do you do when you go in the thing? She turned back, she wouldn't go on the first race.
Don't worry. Yeah, me and Steve Armstrong had a horse that did that every week. So,
well, Misty Moonshine. I went and saw her, and she's very pretty, and that's about it.
Yeah, for Pride now, aren't we?
Yeah, for the clean sweep this time. Okay, here we go. Sometimes you look in a field and you see a cow and you think it's a better cow than the one you've got in the field. Who said that?
Oh, that's hard, because Bez lives in a field, really, near cows. But that sounds like Sean. It's definitely not Sir Alex.
Oh, you missed the chance to get 100% there. It was Sir Alex Ferguson.
Sir Alex.
And, give me a clue.
He said that about Wayne Rooney when he just thought he was going to go to Manchester City in 2010, but then obviously did a U-turn and stayed at United.
I know, and that's why I'm not always as nice about Wayne Rooney as other people are, because I'll never forget him like that. You know, the fact that he talks proper like a scouser, and then he wanted to leave and held us to ransom. So I've never, you know, you forget then when people do that, you forget how he might be a great player and he's done loads of good things for United, but there was a time where for money, you know, he did. He forgot about how much he loved United, didn't he?
Brian, you got the chance to get your name on the score sheet, even though the contest.
I'm not playing anymore.
Oh, you got one question left. This is for Brian.
Why are you not playing?
I'm not playing anymore
because he's lost.
I don't like getting beat.
He's lost all these games.
Because why don't I like getting beat?
We always play these games.
I just don't
play
these
games, and he always loses. So,
you can't give up. You can't just say I'm not playing anymore when you've got to finish it right to the end.
Right, this is the final one.
There's
all sorts of stories about me. I've stopped listening to them. You've got to laugh at them, really.
Oh, that could be anybody.
Sean.
Hey!
Yeah, I should have had that one.
Saved himself from a clean sweep, but it finished 2-1 to Rowetta. So another defeat for McLaren.
I thought two and a half.
You did. Two and a half.
Yeah, but then I could have got half a point for knowing Alex Ferguson was talking about cows and fields.
You didn't say it though, did you? Oh, yeah. No. All right, then. No arguing.
You've won, Rowetta.
McLaren's mailbag. Yes, let's have a few entries from the mailbag, please, Matthew. What have we got?
Yeah, we start with a question for Rowetta and Brian from Martin Lee. And he says to you both, what would make for a happy Monday?
Well, this Monday coming, I'm going to see Bez doing Dancing on Ice. So as long as he gets through, I'll be dead happy celebrating. Hopefully, we're allowed to celebrate and have a drink and everything because he's been so good. So then I'll be happy driving home next Monday. If Bez gets through to Dancing on Ice, I'd love it. Because he's never skated before. But more than that, he's been in hospital because he's so accident prone. There's times when I never thought he'd walk again, let alone skate again. And being serious, he's nearly died so many times. And he nearly drops me every time he lifts me up when I'm on the stage. So I think he's doing brilliant. So that would be a happy Monday for me.
Yeah, I don't think you can get much more of a happy Monday answer than that, can you? So, Brian, Monday?
Number one in the dance charts would be great as well. But yeah,
happy Monday for me would be a nice couple of slices of a GI cob from Lidl. Other supermarkets are available.
Oh,
covered in honey made from Bez's bees.
Oh, that's lovely.
Is that can you vouch for Bez's honey? Has anyone tried it?
I think there's a load of bees on the top of the printworks. I don't know. I've not seen him near a bee for years. But I've seen photo shoots where he's with bees. I think he gets hobbies, then he moves on. At the minute, I think it's more smoothies, vegetables.
Yeah.
Growing your own vegetables. Oh, it's skating. But honestly, politics goes from one to the other. But I only give him, I let him talk about it for the first week and then I have to tell him to switch off from me because it does get boring. The bee thing went on for about a year and then he did Mastermind on bees. And then, so I have to ban him from talking about whatever he's into this week. So chocolates, he was a few weeks ago, he was addicted to chocolates. So, but it gets a bit boring when you're in a band with someone and they're just into the same thing. So so he doesn't really speak about bees so much with me anymore because I banned him from doing so. But on my 50th birthday, we all went to Barcelona and dressed as bees, and he dressed as a beekeeper, and that was really fun.
So after a week off, Cumbrian Dave has got a question for each of you. First one for Rowetta. This is something I'm not sure what this is about, but I'm sure you'll tell us. He says, did you go to Barbados to record with the Mondays in the Blue Wave Studios? If so, did you have a productive recording session?
Well, no, the recording didn't get done. There was Sean drops his heroin, methadone at the airport, and there was no heroin in Barbados, so that he went on crack. And he was in Eddie Grant's studio, and they sold the equipment for crack because he wasn't given any money. So it was all a mess. And I was supposed to go over and do some vocals once, you know, they'd been there a few weeks. Bez had a load of accidents, car crashes. He really badly had pins in his arm and his back. It was just a whole disaster, Barbados. So no, when they came back, Sean went into rehab, and then just me and Sean went in and did all the vocals, lyrics, melodies for the vocals, because he'd done nothing in Barbados. So nothing got done in Barbados. And I would have gone, but I'm not really good in hot weather, and it's really boiling, they said. So I was going to go just for a week and do my vocals, but it never happened.
It sounded like it's best you didn't go, to be honest.
Me and Sean like, on crack don't go. Me and Sean, when he's on crack, don't go well. So yeah, I'm glad I didn't go.
I think it was a blessing in disguise. How do you follow that? I mean,
It sounds all glamorous, but honestly, the minute he drops his methadone, it's in the 24-Hour Party People film. That's one thing that was true. When you're a heroin addict and you've come off and you're on your methadone, he was going to be all right. So when he smashed his methadone at the airport, that was when it all went wrong. And when they tried to stop him having money, honestly, he was selling equipment to people for crack.
Yeah. Well, this is a nice, easy one for you, Chalky, compared to that. I mean, I don't know how you go follow that, but this one, Dave says, which goal hanger artwork would you choose for anyone's goal when you were playing for United or Celtic?
Oh. For anyone? I've got to choose it for somebody.
Well, when you play for United or Celtic. Well, no, it's not. No, it's just it's a hypothetical question. So a favourite goal of one of your colleagues when you were at United?
I think one of my favourite goals was would be Paul Parker's goal against Tottenham at Old Trafford, because Paul Parker never ever scored. I think he might only scored that one.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
with the Eric Cantona assist.
There was
an assist. Eric Cantona assist, of course. Wasn't it the little chip over?
No. It was an assist from me.
Oh, that's why you love
it. No, you scored in that game, didn't you?
Yeah, I scored from outside the box. One of the very rare occasions.
Yeah. A rasping shot. I seem to remember. I thought that was the one where Cantona flicked it over the defender.
No,
was it you? Talking of Cantona, Roetta, you said that Cantona is your all time United hero. I mean, is that, you don't really need to explain why, do you? Is it just everything about the guy?
Just because it got me into like watching where I couldn't miss a game. And if we were on tour and stuff, I'd have it in my earphones all the time. I'd listen to the games. But I just got me so really into football. It was a great time to get into them. But my son first saw him at Leeds because his friend at school, his uncle, I think it was, played for Leeds. So he got tickets and went with his friend. And he came home and he was going on about this player called Cantona. This was way before we knew he was going to come to United. So my son could not believe that Eric Cantona was coming to United when he came. And luckily, one of our security guys would take the kids and myself to the games. So that's what happened. He said he'll take him. And then they used to go, and Andy Rourke's kids used to go. And it was because of Cantona, because he was watching Leeds with his friend because they were getting free tickets up until then. Because my son just loves football. My son started supporting Crewe. When I was going to the United games, he stopped coming and started to go to Crewe games because he saw them on Match of the Day playing Southampton years ago. And I was like, what are you going on about? I've just spent a load of money on your kits and everything. And he's changed his mind. He's gone to Crewe because he's sick of all his friends supporting United. He just loves football. He just doesn't care. I was like, you know, son of mine. He's couldn't believe it. So anyway, the crew kit was cheaper. So, you know, everybody was a winner. But I'm friends now. We do quite a lot with the crew guys from that era, because a lot of them had the problems and the offside. I wear the green band, actually. I sing for them. They had to take somebody to court, as we all know. It was absolutely awful. A lot of them have become friends now. So the offside trust. So I do quite a bit with them. And but it's just it's weird, because I know a lot of the players from when my son supported Crewe, and then you meet them now and to think that what they went through was awful, but they're just such top fellas. So that's great. But yeah, it's now my son, he watches Europe. He doesn't support anybody. He's just a neutral, which is really annoying. But Yeah, but it's good because he keeps me up to date with other teams and who should be managing us and who's playing well, who we should sign. So he's got a great football brain. And so, yeah, it's great.
Okay. I stand corrected, Brian. But by the way, it was your assist. I was thinking of the Dennis Irwin goal.
Oh, right. Okay, there you go. So I remember one thing. There you
I believe
go.
Paul Parker.
I've remembered one thing about my life. I'm really pleased.
No, I remembered it. I was there. I just got it confused.
Did Dennis Irwin ever score?
Dennis Irwin, Dennis Irwin. Penalties and free kicks. And he scored a great free kick. He scored a really good goal from a pass from Cantona.
I mean in the field of play, but yeah, he did.
Yeah, he scored the distance score. Yeah, Dennis scored a few goals, yeah.
Sorry. I met him for the first time. I sang at Paddy Creran's 80th birthday party. And Dennis Irwin's one of them people I've always wanted to meet and never met because he's quite quiet as well. And he was so lovely. But all the United players of that era, they've all been really lovely. Some of them, what's he called, the goalkeeper? He'd spilled wine all over his top at Paddy's birthday. It was fabulous.
You must have a story about Brian you can embarrass him about. Or was he never at these shindigs that you went to?
We've not met before, have we?
No, we haven't, then.
No, we've not met. I didn't see him at Paddy Creran's birthday. There wasn't loads there, though, but it was lovely.
Far too sensible for that kind of thing, aren't you, bro?
Paddy's one of my favourite people, full stop.
Yeah, Paddy is brilliant. Yeah.
So it was an honour to sing happy birthday for him for his 80th. And it was just to the pub opposite Old Trafford as well. Is it Trafford? Gets told off for not remembering the name, but it was lovely.
Yeah, time's up for another episode. Thanks to you out there for listening once again to our little show. And Rowetta, what an absolute pleasure it's been. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, do you want to point our listeners to the tour details and all that sort of stuff and what else you've got going on this year?
Yeah, for anybody who wants to see Happy Mondays live this year, if you just go on the Facebook, Instagram, I post everything up on there, or myself or the management will, for all the tour details. The tour is October, November, December. We're going to try and do everywhere. We're not doing Wales, and I hope that they sort that out, because that's wrong. But we are doing a gig in Wales and Cardiff, I think, in July with Primal Scream. But I would like to hopefully we'll do our tour. We've got to do Cardiff or Swansea or Rhyl or somewhere in Wales, but at the moment we're not. Maybe adding some more Irish dates, which is fantastic. We've only got Belfast and Dublin at the moment, but we're hoping to get to as many places as possible. I can't wait. And the festival's got Isle of Wight, lots and lots of festivals, but as I say, just go to Facebook. And if you can download my tune, I've got a tune at the moment, number 8 in the Funky House Beatport chart. So if you go on Rowetta Instagram and everything, I don't normally plug my own stuff, but yeah, I've got a tune that's doing really well. Fat Boy Slim played it at midnight at the Warehouse Project, and it's doing really, really well. So that's called Anytime Is House Time. So if you like your house music and your dance music, that could be for you.
Brilliant. Okay, if you're into all that sort of stuff, do what Roberta says. Go find it and have a listen to that.
Thank you.
Chucky and Matthew, thank you. Are either of you on tour soon?
Yeah, we are. We've been invited to a do in Ireland at the end of April, where we'll be chatting and talking nonsense like we do on this show every week, really. But we're looking forward to it. A couple of days over in Ireland, but some way off yet. But yeah, it should be a good fun night.
Okay, splendid. All right. Well, don't forget you can listen to Life with Brian, the Brian McLeod podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. So don't forget to hit subscribe. And if you're feeling generous, please leave us a nice review too. The Twitter is at Brian McLeod Pod for any crack and all mailbag entries. So cheers, everyone. We'll be back again soon.
Life with Brian, talking films or music. Life with Brian, talking TV and food. Life with Brian, talking trivia and exercise. Life with Brian, it's different every episode. Life with Brian, talking politics and football. Life with Brian, it's different every episode. Life with Brian.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.